Okay, here we go. We're up to the second day, Yom Beis, the second day of creation. We're up to Pasuk Vav. Vayevo Elokim Hashem said, Yerukia, Deshem Yerukia, firmament. Pasuk Hamoyim. There should be a Shemayim, Pasuk Hamoyim, Vihi Mavdil. And this Rukia should separate, Bein Mayim Lomoyim. Rashi, Pasuk Vav, Yerukia. What does it mean Yehi? Yehi means Yischazek HaRukia. Rashi learns the word Yehi does not mean there should be, because it already existed. Rather, the word Yehi means it should become strong. It's Yischazek HaRukia. Sha'af al pi shenivru shemayim b'yoyim harushin. Even though the shemayim was already created b'yoyim harushin, adayim lachim hoyim. Rashi says that the matter of shemayim was moist. It was soft. V'korshu b'sheni migaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it congealed, it stood still on the second day from the shout of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'omer, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Yehi Rakia, v'zehu shenemar amudei shamayim yiroifofu, the pillars of heaven were soft, kol yom rishon uvasheni, on the second day yismuhu, they were afraid, they were terrified, Miga Arosoi, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shout. Similar to Ka'odom, Shemishtoimim, a person who's bewildered, the Oimed, and stand still, Miga Aras Hama'ayim Allah, from the shout of the person who is terrifying him. Now, by the way, this is the Makar, it's a very famous word of why it's called Yiras Shamayim. When we talk about a person who has fear of God, why do we say he has fear of heaven? Why don't we say he has Yiras Hashem? Where does it come, the expression Yiras Shamayim? And the answer given is, the earliest source of fear is where the heavens were afraid. The first creature, or the first object of creation in this world that expressed an element of fear were the heavens. At this point in time, there were no human beings. All there was Shemayim and Aretz, and Hashem said, and the Shemayim was soft. It was shaking, it was moving back and forth. And when Hashem said, Yehi Rakia, Hashem shouted, and the Shemayim was afraid, was terrified from the shout of Hashem. And that caused the Shemayim to stand still, congeal, Rashi says. So the Shemayim was the first object in this world that was afraid of Hashem. That we find this principle of becoming, we find this example of an object expressing fear. And therefore we use this as an example. We use this as an example for us. When we want to yearn to have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we follow in the ways of the very first object that had fear, and that is the Shemayim. Okay, let's go further. Pesach HaMoim, Hashem said this Rukiah should be Yischazek within the water. Be'emtza HaMoim, Rashi learns the word Pesach means the middle. She'esh Hefresh Bein Mayim Huel Yoinim L'Rukiah Kimo Bein Harakia L'mayim Sha'al Haaretz. Rashi learns that there's a separation between the Mayim Elyoinim above the Rakia, just like there is Kimo Bein Harakia L'mayim Sha'al Haaretz. Holamata, from this we learn Shahim Tuluyim B'mamoroi Shel Melech. Okay, here we learn over here. Now what is Tuluyim? Here we learn that, again, the Rakia is suspended in heaven due to the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Rashi is telling us a lot of secrets about creation. It's telling us that above somewhere, all the way up there in heaven, there's more water. The science of any acknowledge that there is water somewhere higher up there, I don't know, not that I'm aware of. That's always what scientists are looking for in planets, looking for water. This pasuk tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Rukia serves as a division between the Mayim Elyoinim and the Mayim Tachtoinim. And the Rukia is in the center, and the Rekia is suspended in the center. Maybe it means the Mayim is suspended in Shemayim. Okay, that's, these are the words of Rashi. Let's see if we see the Targum. It says Pasuk Vav, Va'amar Hashem, Hashem said Yehei Rekia, there shall be Rekia Bimtzius Mayim. Now the word Bimtzius is an unusual word. Okay, because when the word that we normally use for the word besoich in the Targum is batovech. Batovech means in the middle. And here Rashi, the Targum, did not use the word that we would expect him to use, batovech, but instead used the word bimtzius, which is a different word. And the way he explains it over here, it's not in the center. It's not, mitzius is a word which over here in the parish I'm looking at is a word which means it is an object which separates two items one from another, but the item that is bringing about the separation is not necessarily in the center. So according to Rashi learns, from Rashi it's mashma, if we will be able to take a measuring instrument, we'll use some modern means of measuring, and we'll measure, we'll one day discover the water in Shemayim, the Mayim Elyonim. The Mayim Elyonim is exactly the same distance from the Mayim Tachtoinim. That's very difficult, because we can measure today the distance between. I mean, I know I shouldn't say that. We don't even know what the Rekia is. Okay, we don't even know what exactly is the Rekia. What do we call the Rekia? The atmosphere, the ozone layer. We call it space. How do you define the word Rekia? The sky. What is the Rekia? The Rekia is the heavens. If we are going to say that the Rekia refers to the area of the clouds, the outer surface of Earth, so we can measure the distance between the Earth and the Rekia. What is it? 50,000 miles, feet, 50,000 feet. When an airplane flies in the sky, how high is an airplane flying? You go to Eretz Yisrael, how high is the airplane flying? About 40,000 feet? I think it's about 40,000 feet in the sky. Between 30, 40, they have to pressurize the cabin, about 40,000 feet in the sky. I think we call that area where the airplanes fly, we call that the Rekia. It's above the clouds. It's a certain part of the atmosphere where you can't live. There is not enough oxygen present in that part of the atmosphere to survive. It's very, very cold. Even if you would put aside gravity, just hover over there in that area, he couldn't survive, because there's not enough oxygen in that area. If that is what we want to call the Rekia, and we want to take Rashi literally, and the Rekia is smack in the center between the Mayim Tachtoinim and Mayim Elyoinim, we would expect that if we were to go another 40,000 feet above the airplane, where the airplanes are flying, we were to find water. Because Rashi is saying that the Rekia is Be'emtza. It says in the Pasuk, B'soich. The word B'soich, Rashi translated as in the center. From the earth to the Rekia is 40,000 feet. That means above the Rekia, another 40,000 feet, we will expect to find more water. Because that's what the Pasuk says. Targum disagrees. Targum says the word Rekia just means something that serves as a separation, but it does not mean that it's necessarily in the center. If the separation was in the center, then the Targum would use the word batovech. But when you have an item that is being used to separate one thing from another, and the thing that's being used to bring the separation is not in the center, it's closer to one side than the other, then the word that we select is bimtzius. Bimtzius is another word, a similar word to Besoich, but it doesn't mean that it's exactly, precisely in the center. That's what Rashi disagrees. Rashi seems to be saying that no, the word toich here means be'emsa. It's a subtle difference, and obviously it forces us to really analyze what then is the rakia. If the rakia, if we can define the rakia to be 40,000 feet above the earth, we got a problem. But if we wanted the taich, maybe the rakia is not just 40,000 feet above the earth, maybe the rakia includes a lot more. The rakia maybe goes on for who knows, maybe it goes on all the way until the sun. What exactly is called the rakia? Maybe the rakia is the entire orbit, the entire area that the seven planets rotate around the sun. Is that called the rakia? That's a whole different derivation. That would then be a whole different derivation, yeah?
Armstrong defines it like a firmament. And then
firmament.
In Posek 8, it says it's heavens.
Heaven, okay. So these are all very vague ideas. Okay, we're just throwing out some ideas to get to see how super complex this really was all about. My Sibiratius is really way, way beyond. Everything in Chumash is very difficult. But Ma'aseh Bereishis, forget it. Ma'aseh Bereishis is beyond our understanding. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further in the Targum. Targum, it says, B'mitzius Maya v'hei mafresh. It shall bring a separation between Maya l'maya. The word mafresh means, okay, it's going to be a mitzius. It's going to be something that's going to be separate, and it's going to bring about this separation. It's a little bit too mystical for me. Let's go pasuk Zayin. Vayas Elokim es harakia. Hashem ed rakia vayavdel. He separated between hamayim asher mitachas l'rakia uvein hamayim asher me'al l'rakia vayihichein. Pasuk Zayin Rashi. Vayas Elokim es harakia tiknu al omdoi. What does in vayas? It means he put it in its place. Notice here it says, here Vayas, it doesn't mean that he created, because again, the Shemayim was already created. He put it in its place. Tiknoi al omdoi vihi asiyosai. Putting it where it belongs, that is the equivalent to an asiya, kimo, like the osiso es tzipor neho. It says by the ishes yifas toyar, that she should let her nails grow long. It doesn't mean that she should make for herself new nails. It means she should let her nails grow long. Letting her nails grow long is called the osisa. Here too as well, it doesn't mean over here that it's just to allow them to grow. They should, I guess Rashi over there is saying the osisi porneho. It's not really clear what it means there. If Rashi is telling us over here, it means tiknu. It almost sounds like, according to Rashi, if I wouldn't be afraid, I would say, by the eishas yifas toyar, the Osisa es siporneha, she should go for a manicure. Isn't that really what it seems to be saying? We always read the pasuk by the eshifas that she should be ugly. That the gilach es roisha, that the man that took this eshes yifas toya shall shave off her hair. And he shall let her nails be ugly. And she should tie her down to the door. And she'll be full of garbage, full of dust. And when he walks by every day and he sees her, he should realize how ugly she is and realize what a terrible mistake he's making by taking her. But maybe that's not what the pasuk means. Maybe when it says in the pasuk, "Gilach esrosh einachinami," he has to shave her hair, but don't humiliate her. Let her at least go for manicure. Okay, I always pass by Avenue M. I pass by these nail salons. It's always packed. Always women in there getting their nails done, even during Corona, even when it's illegal. It's mamish pikuach nefesh. Look at Nancy Pelosi. She also had to go for a manicure, even without a mask, in front of the whole country. It's mamish pikuach nefesh. So here, according to Rashi, just like it says here, it says over here, vayaskim es rakia, it means Hashem put the rakia in its proper location. It should be just right. It should be perfect. It should be beautiful. And then Rashi comes to quote the pasuk, the osisa es siporneha. It appears that Rashi is learning that the pshat in the pasuk by the eishes yifas toyar is not that her nails should grow long and get ugly and full of dirt. It means that she should have beautiful nails. She should go for a manicure during the time period that this man is deciding if he will proceed to marry her. On the one hand, he shaves off her head, which makes her ugly, But on the other hand, he doesn't totally humiliate her. He allows her to have beautiful nails. There's always a balance. We said last week, Hashem does not give a patch with both hands. When Hashem punishes, Hashem gives a patch with one hand and gives a knipple with the other hand. Here, this man took this woman from the battlefield. He wants to marry her. But before he marries her, Hashem says, you know, I don't think it's such a good idea you should marry this shiksa. I think if you're going to marry her, the end is not going to be so good. You'll have an eishes yifas toya. So you know what? Why don't you calm down a little bit? Why don't you go and do? I'll give you a technique to calm down, to cool off, take her home, tie her down to the door, shave off her head. But don't be mivaza her. She's a human being. Don't humiliate her beyond what needs to be done. You men, I don't know. I'll tell you some secrets here. I don't get it. I don't get nail polish, the manicure. I really don't get it. I don't see the beauty in all this. Here, I understand women have nice hair. That's something that's much more appealing. The nails. I remember once I was giving a shiur, and someone asked. There was a woman who wanted to participate in the shiur. This woman already passed away. It's very tragic. She passed away. This woman, a while away, she passed away. So this woman, she wanted to come to the shiur. Not the shiur. She wanted to come to the siyum. We had a shiur, and then we have the siyum. So she wanted to come. So I said, all right, fine. I'm not gonna. She wants to come. Let her come. She can't sit with the men. She can sit on the side, and she can listen to the shiur. Gesunde hate, daf yomi shiur. So she came to the shiur. She sat there. She listened very meticulously. And when the shiur was over, she came over. She had a few questions. She holds the Gemara, and she points in the Gemara to the piece of the Gemara and the Rashi. And I remember looking at where she was pointing to, and looking at that bright red nail polish. The long nail, the nail polish, her nails were polished, you know, perfectly, pointing on the Gemara. I remember I was taken aback. It was a little bit like strange to me how she was trying to be very precise, and I was looking at her nails. I don't get it, but obviously women, it means a lot to them. Here, I get it. When you see a person who's bald, a woman who's bald, it's disturbing. It's something disturbing about it. So when it comes to the Eisha Sifas Toyar, the Torah says, do something demeaning to her that will affect you so that you will not want to marry her. But what does not matter to you, nails, I'm just making the suggestion, most men, I don't think most men are infatuated with the shade of red of the nail polish. I'm sure women get all worked up about this. It has to be just perfect. I don't think most men could care less, but to a woman it means a lot. And therefore, let her enjoy herself. Let her have dignity. The osisa esi parnach. Even though you're going to humiliate her by cutting off her hair, but don't humiliate her in something which is not relevant to the situation. I'm suggesting all of this based upon this Rashi, which makes this very powerful statement and connects these two things together. You learn what it means in Parashas Ki Seitzif, what it says here in Parashas Bereishis, of Ayas Lekimis Rakia, he put it in place just right. Further, now it says of it further, Me'al Rakia, Al Rakia, Me'al means above. He was Mavdil between the Mayim, that is Me'al Rakia, Al Rakia, Al. Now Rashi points out that it does not say the word Al. It does not say Al, it says Me'al with a Mem. Al Rakia Nemar, Ela Me'al Rakia, Lefish Ain't Luim Shehain Tuluim Ba'adir. The reason why it says Me'al is because Al is an incredible Rashi. Al has a connotation of gravity. Gravity. Al, something is resting. Me'al means it's floating. It's not physically resting on the Rakia. The Mayim, El Yoinim, is not subject to gravity. The Mayim El Yoinim is floating. And that's why we have an additional Mem. Me'al Rakia. It's suspended in the ear. Next, that ends. And by the way, maybe when it says the Mayim El, what is the Mayim El Yoinim? So most of us think the Mayim El Yoinim represents, I mean, this is a very big mystery now. No doubt if you study the Rishonim, you'll find many different interpretations. Most of us believe that the Mayim El Yoinim represents some type of water way up there in some other galaxy, some Milky Way, something that, that scientists have not yet discovered. Who says? Maybe the Mayim El Yoinim refers to the clouds. That part of the heaven where there are clouds. Whoa, I mean, how many feet up are the clouds? I mean, when an airplane flies, it flies sometimes either right above the clouds, below the clouds, through the clouds, and an airplane flies about 30,000-40,000 feet. So I'm assuming that the clouds are about 30,000-40,000 feet in the sky, and those clouds are floating. They're not subject to gravity. They're not resting upon. So perhaps the Rokia is the air, the atmosphere from the earth until the domain, the area where the clouds normally are found. I assume regular clouds in a regular nice day, there are clouds in the sky. The clouds are normally found at a certain distance. The air between the earth and that, the clouds, is the Rokia. The clouds is the Mayim Asher Me'al L'Rokia. Is that correct? That's not a popular interpretation. Most people will tell you that the Mayim El Yoinim refers to something mystical, something in another world, something that's supernatural, something that's beyond. If it is physical, it's nothing that we're familiar with. But this is a very interesting part of Rashi where it says Me'al. Me'al has a connotation of it's floating. Not al means it is resting, it is suspended upon the earth through the force of gravity. Next, now Rashi is the question, but Neima lo nemar ki toy biyom sheni. Why doesn't it say biyom? It does not say toy biyom sheni. It says vayalakim es ki toyv. It does not say the word toyv on yom sheni. Lefi shelo hoya nigmar minaleches hamayim and yom hashlishi, because it was not yet over. Vare hiskel ba b'sheni, and what happened? What happened on the third day? The third day was the kavu hamayim mitachas l'rokia, is where the waters were gathered into a central location to form the oceans and the rivers, whatever it is, and the earth would appear. So being that the Mayim is incomplete, and on Yom Sheni, the water was just separated from the Elyonim to the Tachtonim, but we're not yet done, therefore it's not proper to say the word Toiv. Toiv can only be said when something is complete. And now you understand why it says by man, loy toiv heyois adam levadoi, eeseloi ezer kenegdoi. When it comes to marriage, a person is called, until he gets married, he's called loy toiv. What do you mean he's loy toiv? He's incomplete. A human being without a spouse, without a wife, or even, you know, I guess by a woman, the same thing that a husband, is incomplete. And something that is incomplete, you cannot apply the word toif. Mayim was incomplete on day two. It was not complete until day three, and therefore the word toif cannot be applied. The essence of toif is shlemos. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the pasuk Bayar, ki toifu. When Moshe was born, they saw that he was toiv. What does it mean he was toiv? So Rashi there says he was noilad mohol, because when a person is born, until the orla is removed, a person is incomplete. When the orla is removed, this is the shlemos. This is the conclusion of man. Now he is finished. Now we can call him toiv. Okay, next. And on Tuesday, when the Mayim was complete, and the Hischel v'gomar melech acheres, and Hashem also on day three also did other things, which we'll see in a few moments. Therefore, it says the word toif twice. Kafal boy kitoil shtei pa'amim achas l'gvar. Melechas hasheni, the achas l'gamer melechas, and one to conclude yesterday's work, and one to conclude, and one to conclude the day, the work, the new item that was created on Tuesday. Tuesday it says toif twice, and that's why Tuesday is a mazel dika day. Tuesday is always the best day of the week, because Tuesday, why is Tuesday the best day of the week? It's the shortest yom. When you daven, it's the shortest yom. You can get out of shul 10 seconds early. Your mind, Wednesday is the worst day of the week. Because Wednesday, such a long yom. Okay?
Friday is short.
Friday is also very short, that's true. Friday is also very short. But Thursday, you have to say tachlon, you have to say v'racha. Monday, Tuesday, there's no v'rachon. And it's a very short yom, okay? Like I told you, women, they don't understand this. Talk to any woman, tell them. A woman can never, ever understand in her whole life the hanah that a man has when he comes to shul expecting to say v'hu rachum, and just as he's about to say v'hu rachum, the gabbi gives a clap, yiskadal v'yiskadash. We're not saying tachlon today because of there's a chosan in the room or there's a bris milah, and you're in shock. Wow, I woke up in the morning, I thought for sure today we're going to say v'racham. And the gabbai gave a clap, the unexpected. We're not saying that hanah, that pleasure, you don't have to say v'racham, a woman can never ever understand. Just like a man cannot understand the pain of chevli leida, here's where a man has something up over a woman. I told you this once. There was a woman, I know a woman on my block, not across the street from me, very, very charedi woman, very stark woman. And she davens, her husband davens, very loyal to Rabbi Avraham Shur. He's a real takif, Rabbi Avraham Shur. And 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, he sent out in the shul that the rabbi is inviting all of the women to come to shul during slichos, during the weekday. The women's section is open, and he would encourage any woman who is able to come 6:30 in the morning to daven in shul during slichos, like a young Israel, a chassidish rabbi, and he was begging that the women should come to shul during slichos. So this woman who lives across the street, she went, and she told me she must be in her mid-60s. And she said to me, they finished Chazor Sashat, and in the women's section, you can see through the cracks what's going on by the men. And she saw everyone fell tachnon, the whole shul. They put their hands on their head, on the table, and it was quiet. And she said, she was like in shock. She never in her life saw something so powerful, to watch the men fall tachnon. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe what I'm hearing. You're telling me you never... this is what you're telling me? You never saw something so beautiful? This is like a regular Haredi woman from a regular... She never saw it. She never comes to shul during the weekday. She doesn't really know what Tachnon is, even though she was like a real Beis Yaakov. All of her kids are in Koilo. It's Taka true. She never saw. She comes to shul on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. During the weekday, she never saw a whole shul of people going tachlon. And she was like amazed. She could not possibly understand what it means to hanor, not to say tachlon. All right, let's get back on track over here. Let's see over here what it says over here in the Targum. Targum Pasuk Zayin. The Targum says, Va'avad Hashem Yos Rikia. Hashem made the Rikia. That's the word Va'avad. And the word Vavad, so notice over here that the Rashi over here, the now we can appreciate the word the Rashi. Rashi said Vayas means what? He put it in place. He perfected it. He was misaking it. That's not the way Targum learns. Rashi is always responding to Unkelus. He's coming to start up with him. Targum uses the word Vavad. Vavad means he created. He fashioned. There was a creation that took place. Rashi doesn't like that. Because Rashi, see, it seems here that there's a fundamental difference between Rashi and the Onkelos, is the Rakia a portion of the heaven, or is the Rakia something new? According to Rashi, the Rakia, which we translate as the firmament, is just a part of the Shamayim. There's something called Shamayim, there's something called Aretz. In this thing, in this object that we call Shamayim, there is a portion that's called the Rakia. Or maybe the Rakia is another word for Shamayim. I don't even know. Everything is very abstract. But Rashi clearly understands that the Rakia is part of the Shamayim. And therefore, Rashi has a very good question. What could it possibly mean, Vayas Elohim es Rakia? The Rakia already existed. The Shamayim already existed. So what does it mean, Vayas? Vayas means he created. Rashi says, well, in this context, it does not mean he created. What it means is he put into place. That's all it means. Onkelos disagrees. Onkelos appears to learn that the Rakia is not a chelik of the Shamayim. There's something called the Shamayim, and there's something called the Aretz. On Yom Sheni, the Ribbono Shel Olam created something new, a new creation. Just like Hashem created man on Yom HaShishi, he created the animals and the fish and all these things, Hashem created a new object on Yom Beis called the Rakia. And that's why the word Vayas is appropriate. It's a creation. Va'avad. Okay, so Avi Machlekes Rashi and Onkelos is what's the meaning of the word Vayas? Does it mean tikkun, he put into position, or does it mean he created? And the Machlekes from Rashi and the Onkelos really goes back to something much more fundamental. Is the Rakia a portion of the heaven, or is the Rakia something separate from the heaven which needed a new creation? Vavar Hashem Yos Rakia Va'afresh Min Maya Dimel Ra, and he separated it from the water Dimel Ra Lirakia Uvein Maya Dimeal Lirakia Vahava Kain. Now by the way, over here we have over here Mila'el and Mila Ra. Dimel Ra and Milara and Mila'el. Now, these words are words in grammar. What do we mean? We have a word. You have a word has many syllables. Like, let's say we have the word over here, Ra. Let me think of a better word. Is it Moyim? Is it Mayim or Mayim? So, if you put the emphasis on the very last syllable, that's called Milara. Milara means below. Milara is at the very end. Milara means down. The end of the word is called the bottom of the word. The beginning of the word is the top of the word. The first letter of the word is the Rosh. The last letter of the word is the Regel. So we say that the emphasis, the pronunciation is Milara. It means the emphasis is put on the legs. Where do you see the word Milara? The word Milara, the first time the word Milara appears over here is in this pasuk. Vayavil kim ben amayim asher me'al Rakia. Hashem separated. Ben amayim asher mitachas. Tachas means the bottom. Ben amayim asher me'al. Tachas is Milara. And in grammar, it means also tachas, towards the end, the last syllable. So let's have the word ma'im. Ma-yim. Ma-yim has two syllables. Ma-yim. The second syllable is made up of two letters. Yud-mem. When I learn with bar mitzvah boys, we always do this. I don't do too with bar mitzvah boys. We have this trouble reading a word. You break up the word. How many syllables are there in the word? Count. Take a complicated word. Okay, let's li-mi-nehu. I'm just taking a random word on the page. Li. Le, mi, ne, hu. Four syllables. one word, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there are six letters in the word. And in these six letters, there are four syllables. Le, number one. Mi, mem yud. Ne, one letter, that's three. Hu, two letters. Four syllables which use six letters. Where do you put the pronunciation? By default, you put the pronunciation at the very last syllable. Limine hu. But that's not the way that's not the way you do it. And the word limine is liminehu. So liminehu is really milara. It's not milara. It's milara. Milara. All milara means, it means the second to last syllable. When you have a word that has multiple syllables, you almost never ever put it on the first syllable. The only difference between milel and milara is milara is the last syllable, and milel means the second to last syllable. So in this example, limi nehu. You don't say limi nehu, you say limi nehu, because the chop is underneath the nun. That's really milel. That's not milara. The word ma yim is two syllables. Where do you put the syllable? Also milel. Mayim. It's not mayim. Mayim would be milara. That's incorrect. It's mayim underneath the mem, the second to last syllable, which happens to be the first syllable of the word. The point of here is very, 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 very important, because here we have the targum of these basic grammatical words, which are almost elementary in the rules of grammar, mila'el, milara. And the targum, when you see where they come from, they come from the word tachas and me'al. Tachas is the bottom, me'al is the top. A word has a rosh and a regel. The regel is the tachas. That's why the end of the word is called milara. And the rosh is the beginning of the word. That's equivalent to me'al. That's why it's mila'el. Okay, that's something very kedai we learned over here from the targum. Okay, v'ichin. Let's go to Pasuches. Pasuches, Vayikra Elokim l'Rakia Shamoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the Rakia. He gave it a name. He gave the name Rakia Shamoyim. Now, what's going on here? According to Unkelis, we just said, according to Unkelis, that the Rakia is a new creation. If indeed it's a new creation, so why now is it being called Shamoyim? Let's see. Vayerev Voker Yoyim Sheni. It was Erev. It was Voker Yoyim Sheni. Let's see. Let's see the Rashi. Then we'll see. We'll come back to that question. Pasuk Ches in Rashi. Vayikra Elokim L'Rakia Shamoyim So Mayim. Now the word So Sha. Now even though the way we pronounce it is with a shin. Rashi, in his first interpretation, is pronouncing it with a sin. So, or he's darshaning it. The pronunciation is clearly shomoyim. But his drush is take the word shomoyim, break it into two words, and don't pronounce the shin with the dat on the right. Put the dot on the left, the upper left, which means so. What is the translation of the word so? To carry. To carry. It is a place that carries mayim. So mayim. There, mayim is being carried. Who's carrying it? I don't know. It's being carried by itself. It's suspended. And then Rashi says, another interpretation, put the dot on the right side, and then it's not so, but it's sho. It's a shin. And then when it's a shin, we take the shin and the mem. The mem is going to overlap. The mem is going to be used as the last letter of the first word and the first letter of the second word. Then it's going to be shom. We use the mem up. And then we repeat the mem, moyim. Shom, moyim. Okay, then Rashi says, another interpretation, Eish Umayim. What's that interpretation? Backwards. Shin So. Rashi appears to be going back to his first interpretation. We take the letter Shin and we make believe the letter Shin really is a sin. And we put a komatz, so. When you pronounce the letter sin as so, there is an invisible aleph. It carries water. And now we're going even a step further to reverse the letters. It's not just so, but it's ish. See, it's not a sin, but a shin. Sho. Sho is shin aleph, which spells the word ish backwards. And that you can do in the world of Drush. And then it says moyim, which means it's a location where there is a synthesis of fire and water. Two things which ordinarily do not go together. Eish umayim, she'orvon zeh bo zeh ve'osa mehem shomoyim. Hashem mixed these two things together and made from them the heavens. So Rashi, to review, has taught us that the name of this object called the Rekia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call the Rekia Shamoyim, and this is according to Lashid, we wanted to suggest that Rashi learns that the Shamoyim and the Rekia are one and the same. That's why Rashi said the word Vayas does not mean Hashem created, because the Shamayim already existed on day one. So the Shamayim is Vayas means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we put this in position, and he called it Shamoyim. And we're giving now three interpretations as to what exactly the word Shamoyim means. The first interpretation is, don't read it with a shin, but read it with a sin. So, to carry. It is a location that there is a carrying of Moyim. The second interpretation is, we have a shin, but we take the shin in the second letter, Shom. There is, and then we repeat the Mem, Moyim. Okay, so the first two interpretations are pretty much the same. It's a place where there is water. And then the third interpretation is we read as a shin, shaw, the shin, but we include the invisible vowel, the aleph, and we take those two letters and we reverse them. Eish, it's fire and water. The uniqueness of the firmament is an object which synthesizes fire and water. Scientists have yet to understand what that means. What it means that the firmament is a place that is a synthesis of fire and water. That's how they were created. That's Rashi. Ungulus, Pasikhes, Ukira, Hashem called, Lirikia, Shemaya. Hashem called the Rekia Shemaya. You know that guy, Shemaya? Shemaya. He called the Rekia, he called it Shemaya. Vahava Ramash, Vahava Tzifar Yoim Tinyon. And it was night, it was day two. Okay, so now what is the Targum saying? Now if we go back to Shemaya, called it Shemaya. Okay, he called it Shemaya. The question remains a difficulty. Okay, the difficulty remains that if indeed, according to the Targum, the Shemayim is a new entity, so how could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is calling the Rekia the same thing that pre-existed? When the world was created, the very first thing Hashem created was the Shemayim. According to the Targum L'shitas, Bereshis means the Big Bang. Bereshis, in the beginning. Bekadmin, the first thing was Hashem created the Shamayim and the Aretz. And now we're describing Vayas Elokimis Horakia, which the Targum V'avad, a new creation. So the Rakia is not the Shamayim. They're two separate things, yet Ukira Hashem, Hashem called Lirakia, he gave it the same name. And that's not such a great difficulty because look at us. How many Moishes do you know? There are many times we find more than one person having the same name. How many Alexanders do you know? How many Yoels do you know? How many Menachem Mendels do you know? it's not uncommon for a person to call for there to be more than one creature with exactly the same name. So, therefore, it's not such a difficulty. Just because according to the Targum, the Shemayim was a creation, and the simple understanding is that the Rakia was a new creation, the Rakia is not the same thing as the Shemayim. For whatever reason, Hashem gave, he recycled the name Shemayim for the Rakia. The Rakia is called Shemayim, and the Shemayim is called the Shemayim. They're two separate things. The Shemayim is the vast expanse. But Eishes Belkemes HaShemayim Ve'es Aretz. The Shemayim represents something much more vast than Hashem made the Rakia. And the Rakia is just something which separates Maim Elyonim and Maim Tachtonim. It's something a little bit different. And Hashem, you know what? I'm going to call you by that name as well. That's not a kasha. Look at all the people that have, look at all the creatures in this world that have exactly the same name as someone else. The Ribbono Shel Olam was an environmentalist. He believed in recycling. He was green. HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced, according to the Targum, this principle that there can be redundancy, or there can be not redundancy. There are certain things which, terms which can represent different concepts, even though they happen to be exactly the same word. You have to say something like that. Otherwise, where are we going? Alright. I was thinking to say a drush. It violates the laws of grammar. Laws of grammar are, when you have a word like shamayim, there's a patach, shamayim. When the word appears at the end of the pasuk, then it's called, then the patach turns into a komatz. Shamoyim. The name Ephraim. Is it Ephraim or is it Ephroim? Well, it depends. It depends where it appears in the pasuk. If it appears in the middle of an expression, it's Ephraim. If it appears at the end of the pasuk, it's Ephroim. So that's grammar. But yet it's not a coincidence that when it says Vayikra Elokim, Vayikra Elokim L'Rakia Shamayim, it's not the same. It doesn't say Vayikra Elokim L'Rakia Shamayim, Vayikra Elokim L'Rakia Shamayim. You'll answer me, well, there is an esnachta. It's like the end of a sentence. Okay, I accept. It's exactly the same word. It's nothing more than grammar. Okay, but you know, I am Panamotara. Maybe it's not the same thing. Maybe just because they share the same letters, and if you want to learn that the Rakia is a completely different entity, it's not a coincidence that the regular heaven is called the Shamayim, and the Rakia is called a Shamayim. Besides the grammatical necessity that it be like that, there is many layers of depth and interpretation. Alright, we'll leave it with that. It's already 8:05, it's late, so Mircham, tomorrow we'll continue. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for joining me. Be well.
Thank you.
Take care.
But how come
Unkelus
says
Shemayim? Unkelus does that many times. Unkelus, the words Unkelus uses are, he has limited words sometimes. I hear what you're saying, that what I'm saying is correct, that Unkelus should have a different word here. Okay, the word is Shemayim. I mean, the grammatical point is it's Shemayim and Shemayim. I don't have a good answer. Okay, I don't have a good answer. This is just a thought. Choymer Lidrush. Okay, everybody, so have a good night. Mayor, there was a cop on your block today. You notice that? You know that?
No.
The sheriff. I'll show you the picture right now on the WhatsApp.
How did you get it?